Blog Talk Radio.
Everybody, this is Raz, your host. Can We Talk is back. Man, we've had a long break for about 2 months, I believe. And, you know, we were playing a lot of rebroadcasts on the radio show. And, you know, we just had some time off and try to regroup and, you know, take care of a few things. But it's good to be back. And I believe I have my main man, Ronnie, on the line. Ronnie, how you doing?
I'm good, brother. It's good to be back. I'm excited about the return and just looking forward to the future with Can We Talk.
Absolutely, man. We got some things lined up, man. I mean, we talked about doing Can We Talk Live in a live forum situation, and I think that's going to be, you know, we can be looking forward to that probably in the next couple of weeks. We're definitely going to try to bring that to you guys. And, you know, definitely some live YouTube videos. We talked about that also. So definitely looking forward to some things we have in store for Can We Talk to develop the show and definitely promote it and get it out there across the country and around the world. So looking forward to it, man. Well, today is like Freestyle Friday. It's the first time we've actually ever done this, but I wanted to, we didn't really have a topic per se in mind, but I wanted to do it like a freestyle. Guys, if you want to talk about something, if you have something on your mind and you want to, if it's, you know, about relationships, about what's going on in the Middle East or what's going on in the world, anything, just give us a call. The number to call us is 347-945-7310. That number again is 347-945-7310. I am your host, Raz Williams. Can We Talk Radio? That's who we are, and that's what we do. We talk everything from worldly topics to, you name it, spiritual topics, but from a godly perspective. So, Ronnie, man, let's start the debate, man. I want to talk about this situation in the Middle East, bro. What do you think about that, man?
Well, I mean, it's rough. First off, it's extremely rough because it shows how man is in a fallen state. Like all the beheading, all the killing, all the misguided, all the misdirected energy as far as, you know, the loyalty to false religions and you know, it just shows how far people will go with the information that they're given and how important it is to have the right information, you know. And because the Muslims, the father died for the whole world, you know what I'm saying? And Muslims aren't excluded from that. Salvation is for everyone, but you have to choose it. And so you know, behind this false religion, a lot of people are zealous for it, and they're killing, you know, they're making war, they're just brutalizing each other and ultimately sending everyone to hell, because not only the people that, some of the people that are being killed aren't saved, but the people that are killing aren't saved, and they could die in their sin. And so it's just like, you know, when the scripture says the gates of hell is, you know, expanding all the time, it's just because people are dying in their sin. They're dying without salvation. But as far as the Middle East thing, you know, with the ISIS and all these crises, we got to remember that this war, this battle in that region has been going on for centuries. For centuries and centuries, that this is nothing new. That if you were to total the heads that have been cut off and the rockets that have been launched, if you total them year by year, this year was no different than you know, than the 80s. You know, so there was the you got to remember that this is not new. You know, some of the news sensationalizes it. You know, news travels a little faster than it used to, so it might seem like it's something that's just spurring up, and you know, you might get these sensationalized newscasters that are telling you these, giving you their information, like, without giving you the whole story. Because the whole story is that, you know, the Middle East has been at war for a long time, for decades, like I said, centuries even. And so this is nothing new. It's just as sad and as bad as it's always been, you know. So it's really, if it sparks anything, it shouldn't spark hatred towards those people, but we need to be compassionate, and we need to minister to them as well. And so, you know, that's pretty much how I see it. And then I was checking out the fact that, like, everyone is in uproar when it was Israel and Gaza. You know, even that's died down now. But Israel and Gaza and the fighting over there, like I said earlier, this has been going on for a long time. Before I was even born, they were warring over there. The same amount of hatred that's fueling them then is fueling them now. And so it's just sad, as it's always been.
Absolutely, man. And, you know, world wars change worlds, man. And if you remember,
yeah,
after the First World War and after World War II, the world was never the same. And
right.
So if you have a global agenda,
okay,
and you have solutions, global solutions for global problems, it's easier for you to bring about your one world system. And create a one world banking system with a one world army headed by a one world dictator, and we're going to talk about that a little later. But this whole ISIS situation, I mean, the funny thing about this is that these guys, well, they kind of came up from nowhere, but they were probably preparing themselves maybe 2-3 years ago. However, the interesting thing is that they are all armed, well armed, mind you, with American weaponry.
Yeah,
how did that happen? So not only that, the interesting thing is that usually Israel usually kicks up a stink about, you know, what, they're bombing us, we need to protect ourselves. But, you know, Netanyahu, he's just being really quiet about it. You know, well, it's okay. Let them deal with it. Let them burn each other out, you know, so to speak. And John Kerry, you know, the foreign secretary, was like, you know, well, we can't bomb them because we may have too many casualties of wars. But that didn't stop them, you know, the last time. That didn't stop them before. So, like, something's going down. And my personal opinion is that they're going to let it get to a certain critical mass situation. ISIS is going to keep expanding itself through Turkey. It's going to overtake Syria, and it's going to start moving its way into up through Israel. And when that happens, then that's when everyone will start getting involved. And that's when I truly believe that this Third World War will start really kicking in. That's my personal opinion. Again, it's only an opinion, but, you know, the Bible does tell us that that there will be a Third World War, and then this will usher in the one world system and the one world government. What do you think about my comment?
No, I mean, you're right. Like, what people have to realize, we're just seeing things coming. The stage is just being set, you know. The stage is being set. And these little things that we're seeing happening in the Middle East, you know, they're straws that are being added to the camel's back before it actually breaks. And then, like you said, either the third world is going to usher in a reason to have a one-world government, or, you know, some sort of paradigm shift towards a one centralized global everything, from the banking is global to government will be global. And if government is global, then there's no fighting, which would usher in a false peace and a real, really controlled environment. But what we're seeing in our time today, we're seeing the steps that it's going to take to eventually get there. And so when we're seeing these, you know, wars over there, we're seeing, you know, they're going to let it get to a climax so that everyone will come to agreement that something has to happen. And, you know, some people will be so hungry for peace and to end the fighting that, you know, they'll sign on for anything, even if it does mean, you know, taking the mark or a world dictator, you know. And so no matter how dramatic they make it seem and the pictures that are being sent, you know, now the social media, but you got to remember, these are just straws on the camel's back, you know. And if you, that the straws have been set there for a long time, and there is a global agenda behind it, and there always has been. So yeah, we're seeing the steps to get there. We're witnessing that, but a lot of people aren't viewing the whole picture. You know, they're just thinking of what they heard this month. You got to add what you heard this month with everything else you've been hearing, and open up a history book and add it to that, because it's just what's happening in the timeline of life, you know, and what's and the course that, you know, this pretty much demonic system is taking humanity.
And absolutely, that's a very good point. You got to look at the problem is, though, that what makes it difficult for the masses to really put things to connect the dots is that a lot of these situations are so compartmentalized that, you know, it's like, do you remember looking at that, I remember my mom when I was a kid, she had this Russian doll, and you know that, Ronnie? The Russian doll, and when you open it, okay, it's like a wooden doll. And you open it up, and inside that Russian doll is a smaller doll. You open up that one, inside that doll is a smaller doll. You know what I'm saying? It keeps smaller and smaller. And exactly this is what's happening right now in the world. The way, the Illuminati and the Antichrist, you know, because he's here, and they're laying the scenes, they've compartmentalized so many different factions that nobody really has all the answers, so they kind of leave them in the dark, but they all working for the same cause. So when you start connecting the dots, that leads to this, over here, and it starts to create a picture.
Yeah.
Now I'm looking online right now, Ronnie, and I'm looking at ISIS brutality, and, you know, this is really gruesome, bro. I'm disgusted what I'm seeing. I'm looking at a man's head blown off. I'm looking at a picture of a she must be about 5 years old. A 5 years old girl has heads been cut off. I mean, these guys are beyond evil, bro. Beyond evil.
Remember this. They were doing that same kind of picture that you're looking at. You can find one for last year and the year before and the year before. You know what I mean? This thing has been going on out there. You got to remember, they're used to cutting each other's limbs off for stealing. So to behead somebody because you think you're serving God, you know, that's nothing at this point. They really believe that they're doing the Lord's work.
Wow.
And so it's raw. And we got to remember, like, you know, when you go east of things, you know, brutality is really, you know, like here, you can sue if you get into a fight out here. in America. You know, you can't spank your children out here for fear that they'll call protective services. But out there, it's a whole different ball game. You know, like I said, you know, they're accustomed to cutting your hand off if you steal. You know, sometimes rapists, you know, they don't even make it to court. They wish the police would get them because the neighborhood will issue their justice right then and there, and it's brutal. So now, if you add that to, you know, a person who thinks they're serving their country and serving God and serving their, you know, and honoring their leaders, yeah, they're going to go, it's going to be extreme.
Yeah, I'm looking at pictures with a gun in a little baby's mouth. The baby can be more than, like, you know, like 3 months old.
I've seen that one.
You know,
I've seen it.
But
you got to remember, it's nasty, but remember, it's happening all the time. These are just the ones that we see. What about what we haven't seen? Telling you, to get to that point, you got to start somewhere. You know, they didn't just turn that way overnight. You know, that's something that's been, they've been programmed for that, and programming takes a little while. So, you know, that kind of custom has been there, you know, already. You know, with or without jihads and the so-called holy, you know, attachment and all that. So they, you know, that's just how it is, man. So, to us, it seems so harsh because we don't get down like that.
Well, I mean, it's harsh. Period. I mean, you know, God didn't like
bad.
Murder. You know what I mean? It's that's not
no,
the way.
It's genocide.
God,
really?
That does things. There's no justification for that other than really just, I mean, honestly, just evil and brutality. They, you know, it's for dealing with a whole different type of people right here, brother.
And no one has the right. No one has the right to take someone's life, man. So you know, it's rough. But yeah, they're conditioning those guys to be that way. Just like in Africa, you know, they take young men and, you know, they put weapons in their hands, and they're making soldiers out of these young guys, and they're making heartless young men, you know, to carry out their deeds, you know, because they don't eat. And so it's just, it's happening all over. It's happening all over, you know. It's just, you know, we don't have the pictures of all of them, but, you know, it's happening all over, man.
Definitely.
It's just that's the depravity. That's the fallen state of man, you know, live in effect right there.
Absolutely. So, let us know about the timeline, what we can expect, because we're definitely in the last days, and for those of you who are listening and don't know, what when we see the last days, Monty, I'm going to let you ask that question. When we talk about the last days, what are we referring to? Can you let us know about that and what to expect?
Okay. Now, we've been in the last days, okay? Now, we're in the last days right now, okay? And the scripture says that, you know, in the last days, people are going to be heady, high-minded, lovers of themselves. People are going to hate what is good. People are going to love what is evil. People are going to, you know, prefer to please themselves instead of please God. And that's what we're seeing on every side. On every side, whether it be the ISIS thing, whether it be the poverty across the world, whether it be corrupt government, whether it be even down to our entertainment, it fits that description. Heady, high-minded, lovers of yourself. You don't like what's good. You embrace everything evil and everything that's negative, and you would prefer pleasure instead of serving God. And so this is what qualifies, you know, the last days according to Scripture, and this is what we're seeing, not only in the from the government level, but all the way down to socially. We're training each other. You know, parents are training their children according to society. Society belongs to Satan, and it's going to put you in that category. It's going to distract you from what's true. But us being in the last days, what we're going to really be seeing is, I'm not going to sit here and pretend with you. I'm going to tell you the truth. It's not going to get better. It's only going to get worse. You know, and I'm not saying that.
Now, Ron, let me ask you. I'm going to interrupt you. When we say worse, what kind of worse? What are we talking about here?
Okay. When I say worse, I say worse not to stir up a paranoia and head for the hills and, you know, don't go to work, because we have hope in Christ. You understand? We have protection in Christ. But while we're on this earth, we need to be in the world and not of it, because the world is going to progressively get worse because there is a global agenda. And the global agenda is to control and manipulate society to the point that they turn their backs on God and salvation. And that's going to happen via the education that people are getting, not just the college education, but all the way throughout school. You know, you got to be mindful of what the kids are being taught in school, because it's being given to them in increments to be a godless nation and a godless society, and they're disguising it under phrases like, you know, being a free thinker, or, you know, you don't want to be a sheep, or you know, you want to be independent, and, you know, they try to make you think there's freedom and lawlessness when you're bound to lawlessness. You know what I mean? You're a slave to the lawlessness as well, so... What we're going to be seeing in the getting worse, we're going to be seeing an increase in, look at the laws that are being passed, an increase in things that are considered abomination to the Father. Those things are going to become the new normal. So when dysfunction becomes normal, then, you know, we're setting ourselves up to be in a position where God is going to keep his wrath on us. You understand? We'll be comfortable with the wrath of God on us. We'll be comfortable in our fallen state. We'll be comfortable thinking that there is no God. We'll be comfortable, you know, until the point that we die in our sin. Not because we're bad people. We're just misled, you know. And so what you're going to have in this world is an increase in misleading society into thinking that you're doing good when you're actually doing bad, because apart from Christ, there is no good, there is no righteousness, and there is no hope, no matter what your achievements are according to society. Society is a base level. You know, it's about pleasure. It's about, you know, eat, drink, and be merry, because, you know, there's nothing else after this, and that's a deception. That's a lie. So things are going to get worse. And they need to get worse so that the control can set in. Because once the chaos is all around, now the causers of the chaos, which is the government, the corporations, the people that are fueling, the people that the devil is using to deceive everybody, the governments and the corporations and the trends and the you know, people in position, in power positions, they're going to be misleading the people whether they realize it or not. And so... there's going to be, you know, just the continued onslaught and attack on children. You know, you got teenagers and even kids in elementary school with their smartphone. They can go and be addicted to porn before they're 10 years old. And so then they're bound, they're in bondage to that, you know, and one bondage leads to another one, and then, you know, this person dies in their sin, and they actually believe that there's no hope because they fell for society's thing, you know, society's feel. And so it's only going to get worse because there's going to be an increase there's going to be an increase in the advertising of sin and being lived in darkness, pretty much. You know, they're going to actually sell you the darkness like it's light. And the scripture says you need to be mindful or take heed that the light that you think you have is not really darkness. Because you, as a person, you just, you know, like they say, you're a product of your environment. So if your environment is feeding you nothing but darkness, that's all you'll have and that's all you'll be. And you'll be separating yourself from God's will for you. And that's what the devil is doing through society, through government, through, you know, the entertainment, through all the things that they cause us to look up to for no reason. And so the enemy is using these as pieces to keep people away from salvation. And so it's just going to increase. And it's only increased in my short time on this earth. Definitely. So we got to guard our hearts. We got to line up with the word. We have to be the light in whatever sphere of influence that we have, because it's only going to get worse. The only thing that's better is to be in Christ and to have the hope of eternal life, a glorified body, and, all the promises that are in the Scripture. Because the Scripture says if you're lined up with the Word of God, there's a scripture that says, you know, seven will fall on your right hand, and, you know, this many people will fall on your left hand, but nothing is going to harm you. These are the promises that we have. So the only way you're going to be able to endure or keep your right mind or have your children and your household protected is to line up with the Word, because that's the only force that's strong enough to, you know, keep the devil at bay and have demons tremble at the appearance, not of you, but the authority that you come in, and that's the authority of the Savior. And so, we're dealing with a supernatural thing. Like when we say, you know, people talk about Illuminati and government and secret society and all that, you know, that's all fine because they all serve one purpose. These are the tools that the devil is using to distract society. Or distract humanity, really. You know, and so as the God of this world, he controls the societies. He controls the devil worshipers. He controls the idol worshipers, meaning, you know, oh, well, I don't believe in anything. Good. You're just as useful to the devil as a Satanist. And so, that's where you got a lot of college professors that love to attack the Bible. And that's why they get these jobs, you know what I mean? Because the devil is using them to play their part. You hear in the Bible that the kings of the earth, okay? When you hear the kings of the earth, we're talking about government officials, the kings of the earth, people with status and money, people who fund the government. The kings of the earth have drunk in the cup and are drunk with the same cup that the devil is pouring them, meaning they're following the devil's instructions, whether they believe it or realize it or not. And so the devil is using the kings of the earth because that's who humanity looks up to. So when the devil is using the kings of the earth, he knows all I have to do is control the kings of the earth and I'll control the rest of society. Because society is going to want to be like the rich guy. Society is going to want to be like the people that we cause them to look up to. So the Bible says that the devil uses the kings of the earth to weaken the nations. You know what I'm saying? And so we are the nations, you know what I mean? And we have the kings of the earth that are doing better than us and that are actually calling the shots. And that's who the enemy's using. And so this is what you're up against every day, whether you believe it or not. And so the only way to have victory and power in this situation, because there is a spiritual war and there is no bench, so the only way to have power and victory during the spiritual war is to line up with the living Word of God, because that's the authority that has authority over any authority. I hope that doesn't sound too weird, but when they say that the Savior is the sovereign of all sovereigns, he's the king of kings. You know, he controls the princes of the earth. You know, he can cause mercy and grace and favor to come upon you. You know what I mean? And that's what you need. People think that they need bigger houses, bigger homes, or, you know, monetary success. No, what you need is the kingdom of God, his righteousness, and the rest will be added. So it's really important in these days and times and in existence to know that your Savior is Christ.
Absolutely. You know, I'm looking at a scripture in John 1:12, and it says that he came to his own, and those who were his own did not receive him. But as many as received him, to them he gave them the right, the power to become sons and daughters of God. And so, you know, the secret to really, like what Ronnie's been talking about, the only way you're going to be free, let me just say this real quick, Ronnie. I don't believe that people like, especially people like, you know, growing up in America and the United Kingdom and places that are considered to be the Western world, where
life is somewhat easier than living in a third world country, then I don't think that they understand or they're not prepared to handle on an emotional level, on a physical level, and even on the spiritual level, the kind of horrific things that are going to come at them during the tribulation and things that are leading up to tribulation.
Right.
I mean, the average person in Los Angeles is not going to be able to deal with that. And so, what we're talking about is that the only way you're going to not be deceived by the demonic system that we're living in, the only way you're not going to be bamboozled by the social engineering, the mind control, that's the food and the medications and all this other stuff, is, and the spiritual wickedness that's going on, is pretty much by accepting Christ. You have to accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. And here's the thing, though. John 1:12 says, for those that received him, accepted him, and did not reject him, he gave them power to become the sons and daughters of God. You have to accept him. And isn't it interesting that he says that for those that did not receive it, they don't receive these advantages of the kingdom. They don't get the benefits, the protection. It's funny to me, as believers or even as people, we give power to people that reject us. But in Christ, in this example, it tells us clearly how Christ deals with people who reject him. They don't get the power. But anyway.
It's true. That's true.
Let me ask you this, Ronnie, because people think this is like a fairy tale. They think this is like we heard of the Antichrist, and yeah, that's just it makes for a good movie. You know, let's talk about that real quick. Why are we going to go through tribulation, Ronnie? Who is this Antichrist? What is his purpose? What is he here to do? And is this going to get worse? And what is God's plan in all of this?
Okay. Now, what people want to realize is here's why. See, the thing about it is you read your scripture, you see that there's a new heaven and a new earth in the Father's plan. So the thing is, the most beautiful place on this earth is in its fallen state, and it needs to be reconstructed. So the tribulation is going to serve a few purposes. You know, I know you're familiar with this, but the tribulation is going to serve a couple purposes. One is going to punish man for sin. It's going to purge sin from the earth. It's going to reconstruct the earth, and it's also going to establish some unfinished business with the nation of Israel. And so punishing man for sin lets you know that the things that happen during the tribulation are going to be hopefully what can turn the non-believer into a believer before they die in their sin. It's going to be purging sin from the earth, because people don't realize that the earth is alive. The earth is affected by all the wickedness that's caused by man. People must realize that when God created the earth, he gave it to humanity. When you read the creation of everything, you see that he set the table before he brought man to it. He created the earth. He created the land. He created the greens. He made the animals. And then he said, here's what I made for humanity. So it's living, and it belongs to you, so you affect it, you know. And so because we're in a fallen state, we affect the earth, and the earth is crying out. And so it needs to be purged from the sin. And so the reconfiguration of the earth is so that we can establish the slate is going to be clean. Just like when we get saved, the slate is clean for us. And so the Father is going to do the same for the earth. Like, there's scripture that tells you that there's going to be a time of restoration when all things will be restored, including the earth. And so that's another thing the tribulation is for. And then the tribulation is also for the unfinished business with the nation of Israel. The true nation of Israel is going to be God's people, and he's going to be their ruler, and they're going to serve their purpose, you know. And so that's why there's going to be tribulation on the earth. And we're watching the things that are leading to what sets off the tribulation on the earth. And so you do want to. You, the only way you can prepare for tribulation is to get saved. That's the only way, you know. And so it will be on the earth, and it's God's plan for it to happen because He has to use the Antichrist because God is not going to destroy His own creation. So He's going to use the spirit that has always been there, the same spirit that fell in the beginning, is the same spirit that empowered Nimrod, the same spirit that empowered Baal, the same spirit that possesses all the demonically possessed people of all time. That same spirit is going to be what is full in the Antichrist on the earth. And so that person is going to be, God is going to use that to do His work, to do the reconstruction, to bring upon the plagues on the earth so that people will see them and change. But unfortunately, the deception is going to be so strong that there will be people, even during the tribulation, that won't accept Christ. You got to remember that, you know, it's really, the enemy doesn't need to kill you in a car accident. He just needs to deceive you long enough for you to die in your sin and not accept eternal life. And so this is what's going to be happening through the Antichrist one world government, through the false prophet that he's going to use, because the enemy knows well that those that you can't get through military conquest, you can get them through false religion. And so he's going to be pulling out all the stops right there, and this is what people are going to be up against, the strongest deception that has ever come upon this earth. And this is what the Father is going to use, just like in Exodus when the Father used everything that the Egyptians believed in against them. The same thing is going to be happening during the last day, during the day of the Lord. He's going to use everything that the people worship, everything that the devil holds as weaponry. He's going to use them not only against non-believers, but against the Antichrist, the devil, and the false prophet. And so that's why it's wise to get into your scripture and look at the whole story as a whole. Don't isolate little parts and not figure out how they all work together. Just like he used the plagues against Egypt, all those plagues were gods to them. Everything that the Pharaoh thought was his benefit, the Father used it and controlled it to show that there's only one being that's sovereign. There's only one being that has the power to control and dictate what's going on. And so the same thing is going to have to come to pass in the end time, in the final end, that, you know, the Father is going to be actually using the devil and his demons to reconfigure the earth, to suffer from the plagues, not so that people would have to perish, but that he's going to make a spectacle of the devil and his army so that people will see that and then change their hearts. You know absolutely. What I mean? And so and, no one wants to be around for that battle.
Absolutely. But the thing is that, you know, and I'll get to my point real quick, is that the way things are right now, it's not always going to be like God is definitely alive. He's doing something about it. So I hope that you're hearing what Ronnie says. Ronnie, you know, just gave us a very, very well versed and educated and informative synopsis of what we can expect between now and the last days. And there's a purpose why we're going through this. Like Ronnie said, there's going to be a new heaven and a new earth. Ronnie, real quick, can you tell us what can we expect in the new earth? Is there going to be sin still? Is there going to be wars? What can we expect for those that don't know this new heaven, new earth that is going to be that's going to come out of a result of God reconfiguring or causing the rapture to happen to purge the earth to take it back to its original state before the fall? Can you let us know exactly what we can expect in that?
Okay, see, and we got to keep in mind, I'm going to stress this a lot. We're dealing with the whole story. God created the earth for us. God established this system. Some people call it the circle of life, the universe. God established existence on this level for us so that we would be able to communicate with him he would be able to communicate with us. We would be able to understand his love. We would be able to, by understanding his love and having a relationship with, by having a relationship with God, we would understand how to be good stewards over what he's given us, the whole earth. He said, I give you the whole earth to subdue, meaning it belongs to you. It will work for you. If you treat it well, it will yield to you. And so his plan is not over with. He didn't. The thing about it is the same thing he tried to do in the beginning, he's going to complete it in the end. And so what's going to happen is in this new heaven and new earth, in this new heaven and new earth, just what he wanted for Adam and Eve is what we're going to finally get. You'll read in Genesis that they walked with God in the cool of the day. In the new earth and the new heaven, we won't need the sun because the Father will be the sun that lights. He will be the light. Just like they said in the beginning, he said, let there be light, and light was. That wasn't the sun that was the light. The sun was made on the fourth day. The light of the first day, our Father, is going to be the light that lights up the new heaven and the new earth. We'll be in communion with him. There'll be no mystery about his power and his position. And that's what he wanted for humanity from the beginning. Right now, God is a mystery. To some, God is not even real. In the new heaven and new earth, it will be there will be no doubt that we do have a creator because he walks with us. And so that's just one of the benefits in the new heaven and new earth. Then in the new heaven, new earth, humanity will be complete, meaning we'll have our glorified bodies, meaning we'll have a true understanding of existence. There's so many questions. All of them will be answered just by being in the presence of the Father and his strength and his might and his, you know, knowing him for who he really is. And when I say he, I don't mean a male figure with a beard. I just mean the creator and the originator of life, you know. And so we'll have a better understanding of existence in this new heaven and new earth, and it will be eternal. That's another thing people don't realize. We were created. The scripture says we were created to have eternity before the earth began. You see? And so the whole concept is eternity has been removed from the psyche because we live for the weekend. We live off of statistics like, oh, well, you
for
know,
right,
I'm
for the right now, information.
Right. I only live maybe 60. My grandfather died at this age, so I'll probably die at that age. Well, we don't realize eternity is promised to humanity. Eternity belonged to humanity before the world began. And that's going to be another benefit in the new heaven and earth. Go ahead.
Absolutely. And that's very important what you said, Ronnie, because people don't understand, like, you know, unlike the animals who their soul is tied to their body. So when their body dies, their soul dies along with it. But with us, we're made in the image of God. We're made in his image and his likeness. And we as you said, our soul is linked to our spirit. And so for when your body dies, your spirit and your soul will live on. And so that's just an important point. I didn't mean to interrupt you, bro, but that's definitely an important point.
No, but you're right. You're absolutely right. When you're dealing with new heaven and new earth, it's a place where you can dwell eternally. That's what this whole thing was about. Look at Adam. Adam only had to die at 900 years old because he fell. If he didn't fall, he would be the one telling us why he didn't fall. He'd be preaching the gospel to us because man was designed to live for eternity, and that's going to happen in the new heaven and new earth. It can't happen under these conditions. See, the thing where people don't realize, in the state that we're in now, Satan is the god of this world, so it has to come to an end. There's just
now, Ronnie, let me stop you there real quick. So you made a very good point there. So Adam, as a human being, if he had not sinned, And unleashed the death force in the universe, he would have remained immortal in his human body.
That's what he was made for.
It made for, exactly. But I also want to say this, though.
interestingly enough, there was no spiritual death before he sinned. He was his spirit, his body, and his soul was all in unison with the Father. Can you imagine the kind of power that was?
That's
okay. That's what we're missing out on our best day. The most highly publicized person is missing out on that today.
And so
Let
me ask you this, though. So you mentioned about the glorified body. And what is a glorified body? Are we going to have flesh and blood, and are we going to get hungry? Can we eat? You know, comment on that.
Okay. Now, this glorified body that we look forward to is a body that is not bound by the limitations of the law of physics. You know, what goes up must come down, gravity. Age. This is a body that is built to be in the presence of the Father. See, that's okay. This fleshly body that I have now, because it's related to Adam, who allowed the sin, cannot exist in the presence of the Creator. It wouldn't be able to withstand His brilliance, His truth, the power that the Father of creation really is. This carnal body that I have is in a weakened state. So I need a glorified body just to be in His presence. And this glorified body is not bound by sin or loss or decay or any of these things that came in with the fall of man. So this glorified body is what is going to be carrying our spirits into eternity. You know, will we be able to fly? You know, hey, I don't see why not. The thing is, when the Savior came back in His glorified body, they didn't recognize Him until He wanted them to recognize Him. He walked through walls. He did, you know what I mean? I don't want to dumb it down to just being able to do parlor tricks. I want to keep it in your remembrance that this is a body that does not age, that can last forever the way we were supposed to be. And so that glorified body is what you get when you accept Christ, because the dead in Christ will rise first. The rest of those that are living will rise again. This rising also is what's taking place of the transformation from your natural body to your glorified body, because you're going to be in the presence of the Savior who is God, and you can't be in His presence without a glorified body. This is how you're able to reign for eternity. This is how you're able to rule over the nations for 1,000 years, because your body has been glorified. It's an incorruptible body, the scriptures call it. And so that's what we get, you know, when we avoid the second death.
Absolutely. Definitely. That's powerful, man. And so now, will there be human beings living in the new earth, heaven and new earth at that time? Would there be like human beings, or will every person be converted from a human to having a glorified body?
Okay. Now, this is touchy, but we got to look at the information that's given to us in the scriptures. The scriptures say that there's going to be 1,000 years where people who have died during the tribulation, I think this is chapter 19, people who have died during the who were beheaded for their testimony, chapter 19, book of Revelation, they are resurrected, end of the tribulation, before the millennial reign. They are resurrected, and they receive glorified bodies. The body of Christ that was raptured, they come down, and they've been given thrones, which means they've been given authority to rule with Christ for 1,000 years. They have glorified bodies. Now, they talk about those who are raised to have glorified bodies. They talk about those who come down to have glorified bodies. And these two peoples rule with Christ over the nations for 1,000 years. So I said over the nations. These nations are the people that are living on the earth. They don't have glorified bodies. They live for 1,000 years while Satan is put in chains. They're ruled by Christ And his followers, his army, that's us, the body of Christ, they're ruled by the body of Christ for 1,000 years. They know no sin. They don't know the devil. That's why he has to be let out again. And so this, we're seeing that there will, on the earth during this millennial reign, there will be believers of this time with glorified bodies. There will be the nations that they rule over. You feel what I'm saying? And these same people will go into eternity. That's why later on at the end of the book of Revelation, there's a tree that bears 12 different fruits all the time. And there's a leaves that heal the nations. See, it says the nations, meaning the people on this earth that are still of this earth, meaning they're still flesh, not of this earth, meaning controlled by the devil, but of this earth, meaning that they're flesh, because there is no devil at this point. So for them to enter the presence of God, they need that leaf that heals them. And this leaf allows them to be in the presence of the Father. Will that change for them? Will they be transformed by the leaves that they eat to have glorified bodies? You know, I can't wait to see it.
Absolutely. That's wonderful. And you heard it, folks. That's some really informative stuff Juana just gave us, man. And, man, so Juana, let me ask you this. Who is the Antichrist? And what role do we have to play in all this?
Okay. And so who is the Antichrist? Let's look at that whole concept, okay? Scripture says there's Antichrist now. There's many Antichrists, right? So when we say Antichrist, we're saying one of many. But we know that there's supposed to be the definite article, not a copy, nothing like no one has ever seen. You know, Hitler's. You can grab your most demonic devil worshiper, this guy will pale in comparison to the Antichrist, okay? There's a lot of people that say, well, it's the Pope. Now, the Pope is a Antichrist because when this last recent Pope was put into office, I seen, you know, my wife and I were watching his ceremony, and you hear the followers while they were waiting for who to be announced, and I think at the announcement of his name, the crowd bursted out saying Vikri Christ or Vikar Christ. I don't know how to pronounce it, but I know what they said means replacement Christ. And that's what an Antichrist is. A replacement. See, an Antichrist is not just someone who's against the Messiah, but someone who wants to be instead of the Messiah. He wants to fill that void that, you know what I'm saying, that the Messiah wants to fill for you. He wants that reverence. He wants that position in your heart. And in that way, if he's got the position of Christ in your heart, he also has your soul. And, you know, one thing leads to another, and you die in your sin. But the Antichrist is going to be a supernaturally charged person who's been given power by the devil. The devil is going to give him authority, give him power, give him majesty, well, a demonic majesty, well, to where he'll be able to deceive the nations in a way that no one else has. This is going to be a person that has the devil's power. He's going to be pretty much like the devil incarnate, and he's coming in two parts. It's a left and a right hand to make up the Antichrist. Just like our bodies are made up of limbs and organs and bones and flesh and hair, teeth, you know, that makes up my body, singular, but it took all those pieces. The Antichrist is going to be a left and a right hand where there'll be a political dictator charged by the devil, and there'll be a religious dictator of the world charged by the devil, you know. And so together, hand in hand, they will be, you know, what is known as the beast or the Antichrist. You know, they'll be working together to deceive the nations for Satan. And so the Antichrist, it's a concept where you got to realize that there's many Antichrists on the earth now. There's some even the most peaceful people, you know, they just want love, flower power, self-help gurus, you know, false religious leaders, you know, their hearts are in the right place, but they haven't lined up with the true spiritual power. So they make themselves an antichrist because they want to give you good advice without Christ. They want to give you self-empowerment without the true power. And so, you know, they make themselves antichrist in that way. But the antichrist is going to come on the stage, and you're not going to miss him. He's not going to have anyone beside him. He's going to be actually empowered by the devil. He won't be voted into office. He'll be given power by the enemy to stand as a government leader. And there's also going to be a spiritual antichrist who will be the religious world leader, and together they'll control economics. They'll control just society on every single level, from government to economics to religion. And it'll be,
wow.
It'll be unity. It won't be a bunch of different factions. You'll know who the top guy is. And people are going to marvel over him. He's going to do many signs and wonders, whether it be the political leader or the religious leader. And they're going to be doing a number on society's mind just so that society would die in their sin.
Wow. That's for those of you not in Christ, it's definitely going to be a scary situation. But
It's
important to know these things so that, you know, you can, you know, and again, like we were talking about early on, it's all leading down to this, the way the world has been. I look at it like an organizational structure chart, you know, like you have the chairman or the CEO, and you have the board of directors, and then you have, and the way Satan has set up this structure is pretty much in a very similar way. Like, for example, a McDonald's in China was going to serve similar types of foods in a McDonald's in Riverside, California, give or take a few things here or there. So underneath the board of directors, you have the subsidiaries that carry out their that underneath them are other subsidiaries. And these are all parts of Satan's structure of control. This is why the whole world at the same time is being controlled. It's all being massaged and led into a certain direction. Why will all of a sudden are we seeing the police in our local states and cities being overly militarized? Because they're preparing for the New World Order, which is going to be a militarized fascist type situation, like rather like Nazi Germany. And I mean, the FEMA camps, the concentration camps are real. The plastic coffins, they're very real. The re-education centers are very real. All these things that that before we would say this is ludicrous, it's actually a reality. And what is going on? We know we don't know for sure exactly, but we do know where it's heading to. And so, you know, I'm looking at, on the TV, I'm seeing these guys, the doomsday preppers and whatnot. I mean, guys, I mean, seriously, that is not going to save you. I don't remember what scripture is, Ronnie, but there's a scripture in Revelation where it says that they will hide in their underground caves and whatnot, but it will not save them from the wrath of God. And so these things that you're doing, I mean, you know, your main preparation is to accept Christ as your Lord and Savior. That is the best preparation you could ever have in any disaster type situation, period, hands down. Number one.
Yeah.
Then I would say, okay, you know, you got little kids, you got yourself, you know, you can get some waters and whatnot, some eats and you know, and some components like that. These guys are taken to the extreme where they're building underground bunkers and getting their guns and whatnot. And I mean, let's talk about this. I want to talk about the supernatural activity that's going to be happening. The Bible says, "In the days of Noah, so shall it be in the last days." What was going on in the last days? The last days was and this is the thing, Ronnie, that people need to really read the Bible for what it truly is. You know what I mean? Not just some kind of story or fairy tale or you know what I mean? For example, people think the Book of Noah is just some guy with a beard. Okay, I'm going to build me a ship. I'm going to put two and two and two and two, and we're going to go somewhere else and build a crib. That's not what it's about. It's about a spirit, an evil fallen angel, warring against the Creator by trying to defile human beings to stop the plan of Christ from coming forth. So we're looking at, number one, a genetic war, where he had a group of angels had come down and found a way, be it supernatural, technological, scientific, they found a way to be able to procreate with human women, creating monstrosities on the earth, creating giants, because now you have, for example, my mother, I get my genetics from my mother and father. The genetic has a code telling me that, okay, Raz is going to grow a certain height, he's going to have this color hair, he's going to have these color eyes, and so on and so forth. But now you have introduced something that should not be, and it's just growing and growing and doing whatever. So there were giants in those days in the land, and it didn't just stop there. They were messing with animals and all kinds of situations like that, and the punishment was so severe that I believe those, if you can correct me if I'm wrong, Ronnie, but those particular angels are still bound, I guess, in the Euphrates River. I'm not too sure, but they're still bound to this day. And so no other angel has ever dared to do that again, so they started messing with animals. So now that can be backed up by all of the archaeological finds. They found 40 feet, 50 feet, even up to 100 feet human skeleton. Now when you tell people that, they think it's far fetched, or this can't be so, because you know you have people like the Smithsonian Institute and the military that will quickly go into those archaeological sites and expose of all the findings and the evidence and put it away somewhere so they can keep it hush hush.
That's right.
What's your comment on that, bro?
Well, no, you're absolutely right. Like you said, it'll be like the days of Noah. There'll be genetic mutations. There will be an attempt to or change or modify God's creation. Okay? The thing is, the human being created in God's image is the greatest thing on the planet Earth. Now, we have science and technology that tries to duplicate the attributes of humanity through computers, through robots, through satellites, through communications. The whole silicone in your computer, the whole processor in the computer is trying to copy the brain, the human. How does the human do this? It's always, how do we build a machine that can copy God's creation? And not just copy it, how do we integrate the machine into God's creation? And once we get God's creation dependent on machines or dependent on external enhancements, we're going to be breeding a society of mutants and changed or altered humans when we start implanting chips. So the thing is, it's going to be, let's make it more convenient for humanity, because we used to have phones that were tethered to the wall by a cord. Now we got phones in our pockets that also give us television and you know, tell us what to do, and, you know, we can communicate, we can keep our appointments. It's just a Rolodex. It's everything in my pocket. So the next step, for convenience sake, would be, why don't we implant that ability in your head so that you can go on the internet via a chip behind your eye, or you can communicate and keep all of your ID, your bank records, your health and hospital records, all in a chip implanted in you. So all we got to do is scan your retina, or however they choose to do it. They'll sell you on the convenience, but now they've altered God's creation. So just like in the days of Noah, it was an altered creation that was no longer what God intended for the earth. God didn't intend for mutants to rule the earth. He intended for those created in his image and his likeness to rule the earth. And so when we change humanity from being in the image and the likeness of our Father, we'll be in the days of Noah where we got chip-implanted children, we got genetically made children, or we've got build your own child, meaning I can say what cells I want to make them what height I want. So now we take the creation process out of the Father's hands, meaning we don't have faith in God's perpetual word of let there be life, and we want that control. And so now we'll be modifying and creating our own type of people, which are no longer God's creation. And so that's how it was in the days of Noah. That's how it's going to be if we leave it up to science. And I know that God put doctors on this earth. He put scientists and engineers on this earth to benefit the rest of humanity. But when to everything, there's a limit. To everything, there's a limit. And when that limit is crossed, we go against God. We turn our backs to morality and to truth and to creation, and we take it upon ourselves to think we can outdo God. We're just like those Nephilim. We'll be creating just what those Nephilim beings were, just what those fallen angels did is what we'll be doing. And your enemy is Satan, and so Satan is going to use that realm, these doctors that were taught by professors that, you know, hate the Bible. And so now you've got godless doctors, scientists, and engineers, you know, steering the wheel, you know, for the enemy. And they're going to crash society. They're going to cause society to crash by making them dependent on external things like biochips and, you know, let's make it a police state. And so we're going to have to modify the people to fit the devices of the police state, meaning, you know, you won't be able to buy or sell if you don't have this chip in your hand or this mark on you, or if you haven't surrendered to the powers that be, the earthly and demonic powers that be, then you won't be able to function in the society. And so when you do that, you're altering God's creation, and it's going to be just like the scripture said, just as in the days of Noah. There was mutations on the earth. There were people, you know, giving into marriage and having a wild time, thinking that, you know, they were enjoying themselves and enjoying life, but what they were doing is walking or really running further and further away from their true purpose. Your purpose is that you were created for God's good pleasure. So once we start focusing our time on going against his will for humanity, then we'll be paying the price. You know, we'll be separating ourselves from God. The scripture says that, you know, everyone who took the mark of the beast, they disqualified themselves from being saved. So that means to take on all of these genetic mutations and all these technological enhancements, enhancing growth and humanity and, you know, being implanted to function in a police society, all these things separate you from being a natural being that can accept salvation. And so it's going to be cold, man. And that's why we got to, you know, keep up with what's going on and learn to say no and learn to take a break from the course that society is doing. We have to be in this world but not of it, because if we're of it, we're going to go along for the ride, and you could die in your sin. You could separate yourself.
And cold is not – is putting it pale, bro. I mean, again, people will not have the emotional capacity or the visual capacity to deal with what's about to come on this earth, man. Like, they have no idea what's going on. And, you go on YouTube right now, there's a bill. I think I showed it to you a while ago. There's a bill. You can actually type in Congress discusses or talks about flesh-eating bill. And this bill is a member, a distinguished member of Congress, reading a bill that was signed into law by the United States government. Law. In this bill, he says it's classified. Every other word was classified. But he said a few things.
in the event of classified, where we have to detain the general masses into detention centers and FEMA camps classified, against flesh eating classified, spewing toxic classified, and we will dispatch the Air Force classified to destroy classified due to their enormous size and otherworldly strengths. What was he talking about, brother? I mean, this is a bill that was passed into science law 10 years ago now, if I'm not mistaken.
Okay.
So, I mean, there's some things coming on the earth, people, and guys, you need to realize, this is not a joke. There's time to really look at the world for what it really is. You can't just go home and watch the football game and act like everything, you know, is hunky dory, man. Like this is a serious situation we're in, and I'm not saying there's anything wrong with those things, but make sure that you keep the main thing, which is having a relationship with Christ Jesus, knowing why we're going through what we're going through, so that you don't be deceived or become deceived by the things that are on this earth. Ronnie, let's talk about the real quick. I want to talk about, like, how does the social engineering, the food, all these little components, which I believe is all part of Satan's attack on mankind to deceive mankind through the food, you know, putting certain chemicals, genetically modified foods and whatnot, the medications, all these things, fluoride in the toothpaste, all these things which you know have an effect on the mind and the psyche. How do you think that all ties in?
On all sides. Well, here's the sad part. People don't realize you're being attacked on all sides. Like we talked about on the government level, we talked about from the entertainment that you see, everything is controlled. Everything is controlled. Unless you grow it yourself, do it yourself, it's part of this controlled environment. And so, same with the food. We need to look at America and realize, or go and research and find out why was farming like taken out of the equation when America was all about land, raising your own, doing your own, the land and the free, this was the free world. Why was farming discouraged? You understand? Because if everyone farmed, there's enough land in America for everyone to have enough land to grow their own stuff. If everyone was raised to farm and take care of themselves, then there would be less chance. You minimize the risk for being controlled and the food that you eat being controlled. And so now we buy processed food. We buy processed food that's either sprayed with something, that they've taken all the nutrients out and put the nutrients back in for the sake of shelf life. And so now we're not even eating real foods. And so all this, we put ourselves at the mercy of the people that give us our food. And if the people that give us our food only want to control us, we don't know what's going into the food, what's in the water, what's really healthy. When you look at drinking water, it only has to be barely ingestible.
Keep the bacteria at a acceptable level.
It doesn't have to be clean all the way. It just has to be clean enough to not make you sick. You know what I mean? And we don't mind because we live for the weekend. We'd rather drink beer and soda anyway, which is worse for us, and myself included. And so it's like we have to realize that this controlled environment doesn't stop at one thing. There's no getting away from it. This has been something that's been put into effect actually before, during the establishment of America itself and before then, because we're not dealing with flesh and blood. We're dealing with powers and principalities that have been against humanity from creation. And so, the genetically modified foods, you can look up so many cases, and there's all the information is out there. It's just that people aren't encouraged to look at what's happening to them and look at who's responsible for the food that we get. But the information is there. The things that are put in your foods, if we really sat back and taught each other about them and we promoted them like we promote, you know, reality shows, we probably wouldn't let these companies do that to our children and to our friends and our neighbors. I think KFC had to change their name because they found out that they're not even really selling chickens. That's why it's not Kentucky Fried Chicken. It's just KFC. And so this is
something. What is it?
That's your question. That's where we need to start raising these questions and start talking and having these conversations. Because once that becomes what's in your psyche, you won't tolerate it. You know, and then you'll have other people to keep you accountable because it won't just be you discouraged by it only being you. And so, you know, this is a way in this controlled environment that, you know, people are being encouraged to be asleep and live for the weekend and, you know, watch celebrity news, not world news.
What is this fascination with celebrities about what they're doing, who they're dating? I mean, what is that about, man? Like, who cares, yo? Like, for real? Like, I mean, and people buy this thing, hook, line, and sinker, like they it's amazing, man, how society is so programmed to be like sheep and to just follow everything they tell you to do. Like, it's crazy, dude. I haven't heard that they have a Bilderberg meeting. And if those of you don't know what the Bilderberg meeting is a group of the very high echelon of society, the ones that are supposedly controlling the whole world, get together and discuss. And in this meeting, you'll find entertainers, sports icons, famous athletes that they're told to do, I guess. Ronnie, do you know anything about that?
I don't know about the Bilderberg per se, but I understand that these entertainers are victims as well. They're victims of the enemy, but, you know, when you're trapped in these things, the thing that the scripture tells you is that the condemnation is that people love the darkness more than the light, whether they realize it or not. You know what I mean? And so I feel for some of these entertainers because they just want to express themselves. This is what they thought they always wanted to be. And they like the position that they're in. And by the time that they realize they're in something that's full of darkness, you know, they've come to like the darkness more than the light. And so they become victims and trapped in this thing. But see, the way the enemy, like I said earlier, he uses the kings of the earth to be the Pied Pipers for the rest of humanity. And so if you see someone lifted up, someone you, what's that word, someone you can relate to and, you know, someone that you can, you know, kind of see yourself in, someone that you feel that you can understand they're doing good and you cheer them on, you know, systematically they become an idol. Then they become who you follow. And if the devil has that person, he has you too, because you follow that person. And you're like, well, the devil doesn't have him. Well, see, the thing is, the corporation that owns him and pays him is run by, you know, someone who's influenced by the satanic prince of power of the air. You know what I mean? And so this is why, you know, the enemy uses the celebrity. That's like the, you know, people, for some reason, people have been convinced that they're not content with food, water, shelter, family, friendships. People have been convinced that that's not enough. And so they want to escape the reality. And so here comes the entertainment industry, where you can escape for 30 minutes watching a TV show. You can escape for 5 minutes through the song. You can escape for 2 hours in the movie theater, because you think that they've got it better than you do. When one,
and the funny thing is that they're not happy. It's fake.
No,
they're not happy. A lot of them committing suicide,
right,
or doing kinds of things and try to escape their pain. And
it's
people will sell their souls. They will leave a true life, a good life, for an illusion of what they think is true life. Chasing a phantom, a ghost, a mirage of what they feel like life they should have. And unfortunately, a lot of times people get caught up in nonsense and get used and abused, and it's too late.
And so, yeah, you know, it's like I said, it's if we get someone that can captivate the masses, we'll use that person until we find another one. And that's why, you know, the entertainment thing, the celebrity news thing is so big, because, you know, it's been a getaway for, you know, society for a long time.
Right, absolutely. Now this thing is so big, guys. You know, this is big, man. But guys, I mean, you know, we're talking about the this is you know, first Fridays of Can We Talk, and we were talking about, you know, pretty much everything and anything. But we kind of the conversation kind of was geared more towards the end times and what's really going on, and where how this world is being shaped and manipulated for. A course that is really really not going to go in it's not going to end well for those that are not in Christ. So we have 8 minutes left, Monty. Anything else you want to talk about? Anything that was worthy of discussion?
I just want to bring up the whole Ferguson and the young man that was shot by the officer. I just want to say this for anybody who feels any way towards it, because I know there were protesters and this and that, and I don't know if they've died down. I don't know how long they're going to go on. I pray that they achieve something. But we need to realize, first, did the young man die in his sin? Two, you got this officer who's now a murderer. Will he die in his sin? It's so many deeper things. And then on top of that, we got to remember, before it was this young man, it was Trayvon. Before it was Trayvon, it was probably countless and hundreds of others. There's someone dying tonight, you know what I mean? And so we got to be not just against black and white or cop and youngster violence. We need to be against violence across the board. We need to be against death and killing across the board all the time. We need to be against black-on-black violence, white-on-white violence, nation against nation. We need to be against evil just all across the board, and not pick and choose when to stand up and when to protest. We need to be in protest of injustice every day, all the time, starting, you know, with the things that we allow our people who influence us do. We need to just, you know, put things in the proper perspective. That's all I wanted to say. And so
absolutely,
don't just be against the cop killing the young man. Be against death and killing, period.
And I do want to say that, you know, as you know, being black in America, you know, knowing the kind of history and the dealings that we have with police officers, it would be wise for you to conduct yourself appropriately in society. You know, don't, you know, make sure you're not driving with your headlights out. Make sure you're not doing things where you can be pulled over, you know, and having to engage. And if you are pulled over by the police, be respectful. Do not give them a reason to be fearful of their lives, or just to antagonize their authority as officers of the law. Ronnie, what do you think about that? I think it's very, very important. I think that it's very, very important to conduct yourself accordingly.
It is. Unfortunately, we're in a society where, for some people, race always matters. And so, you know, for young black males, you know, for some reason, we strike fear. Either they love you, or they want to be you, or they hate you. And so, and sometimes all at the same time, you know what I mean? All I could do is chalk that up to the enemy deceiving the rest of the people. And so, but as a young, just as a young man too, you know, you want to conduct yourself in a way where you command respect. You know, the way you dress, the way you look people in the eye to speak to them, the way you discern the situation. You know, you have the ability to spot the junk before it comes to you. And so, you know, I just encourage all young males, young black males, to kind of come away from the whole thug, you know, tattoo face, you know, look, because it's not a good look. It's never been a good look, you know. And so we don't live like in the jungles where we do ceremonial tattoos and, you know, the tattoo means something or you're a chief or anything. You just look like the criminal. A lot of people don't realize the criminals used to tattoo their cover, blast their arms to cover heroin traps. You know what I mean? Like, get the history behind what you're doing, you know. And, you know, when you look back in the day, you know, the brothers, even the gangsters had suits, man. You know what I mean? The image is not all right. You know, the whole bum look is not all right. So, you know, I just encourage the young men, young black men, to change the image. Get off of the bum look. Get off of the homosexual look. And just, you know, present yourself in a way that commands respect. That's all.
Amen to that, absolutely. Well, guys, we are ending our show. We're back again, first time in about a month and a half, and wanted to say thank you for listening, and we'll be back next week. Raz, Ronnie, and I believe Nikki will be back with us also, and we will have a good topic lined up for you guys next week. And, you know, the number to call us is 347-945-7210, 347-945-7210. But call us next week. Ha, we're about to end. So, guys, thanks for listening in. And, again, 8 p.m. to 9:30 p.m. Pacific Standard Time every Friday evening. Can we talk? That's who we are. I'm Raz, and this is Ronnie. And we'll talk to you guys next week. God bless.
Peace.
So it begins. Who would have ever thought that this day was bright? I got a deal writing rhymes just to stay for fright. Mother speaking wisdom to my heirs, giving great advice. At times I write only just to see my status like rhyme. With so much folly up in my trolley, can God use someone like me? And I keep asking the same questions, see my brow stay sweating, but the spirit gives rest indeed. It's not about you, young Essie says. I decrease the increase in my sentences. I need Jesus' deep thesis that is heaven said. Please believe it is him that I'm resting in. Least I get my strength from the bread of life, so I feast on and drink water from his well. Should I keep going? See sipping, see spitting, I'm in deep thought. This ordeal made me feel I should cease fraud. Can you see the fears up in my eyes, homie? I still muse upon the words that Shy told me about the woman that I care for. Time show me, awaken love before time, and you sigh only.